You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, guest, and criminal defense lawyer, Laurie Hellas.
The verdict is in the Adam Montgomery trial, and it is guilty. We don't have the sentencing as of yet, but the jury did come back and saw through all the lies, all the chaos, and the story, the heartbreaking story that led to the demise and death of an innocent little girl, five-year-old Harmony Montgomery. Joining me to discuss the verdict and where things stand, Laurie Hellas, author, defense lawyer. Laurie, I know you were watching this pretty closely, watching closing arguments and such. What was your takeaway from this case and all of the drama, the destruction, the unhealthy behavior that we saw throughout this entire saga?
Well, Tony, it's a very sad story. As I talk to some folks that follow my channel, I had a daughter who looked an awful lot like Harmony, right down to the glasses and the blonde hair. Mm-hmm. So it was a tough case to follow.
Yeah.
I can't say I was surprised at the outcome, but I was surprised at a few of the things that came out during the trial.
Yeah.
It was a heinous crime, and I don't think anyone is very surprised at the verdict. I actually was a little surprised. It actually took 7 hours before the jury came back and found him guilty.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, those were definitely.
I think I, like a lot of people, were surprised that the judge allowed him not to appear at his own trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to hear that the prosecutor was very clear that the statute requires him to be there for his sentencing.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a moment, because I know that kind of does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and judge to judge, depending on where we're at. But yeah, I mean, this was a case where you almost want that person there, whether they're in shackles and wearing the silence of the lamb's mask, if you need to sit there, to endure, to see what you have done. Why do you think that is, that they allowed him to just take a pass and stay behind? And was that part of a strategy, is my question, on the part of the defense, a bizarre one at that?
I don't know that it was a defense strategy. I mean, I think defense attorneys, I was one for many years, I think defense attorneys take the client they get and deal with the hand they're dealt. I don't think that any defense attorney would prefer not to have their client present.
Mm-hmm.
However, the judge made the decision that she was not going to force him. Now, I have seen cases where defendants are put on the little rolly chair and shackled and brought into trial.
Mm-hmm.
And judges insist that they be present, primarily because I think it's a due process issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an issue of not only is the defendant entitled to due process, but the people are entitled to due process. And that means being able to have that person there to confront the witnesses against them and not appearing. Yes, he had attorneys there who were representing his interests, but still not appearing, I think, is a problem. The New Hampshire court decided that it wasn't a problem, and I think the New Hampshire judge felt that it wasn't worth the fight,
okay,
that the optics of dragging him into court in shackles weren't really worth the utility of him being there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she kind of balanced that and just thought, it's not worth it. That's the fight I don't want to fight.
And, yeah,
you know, we all pick our battles. So.
Sure. I mean, and it's one of those cases too, where, I mean, he did show up that initial day, you know, with his tongue out, looking very just disconnected from reality. And I think, I mean, it very much, you know, set the tone right there for who we're dealing with. A lot of this is, you know, wanting to have someone like that show remorse, wanting that someone to show some sort of impact on them. And at the end of the day, that person's never going to do that. That person's never going to feel that. So I do wonder if the judge did make that choice more so for the well-being of those who did care about Harmony that were present to not have to endure, you know, almost that torture that someone like Adam Montgomery would continue to put out towards everyone around him with his own, you know, narcissism and just self-grandiose beliefs.
Sure, I think that's very much a factor. It's was very clear that if he were in the courtroom, he was going to do everything he could to exert control over the environment and over the proceedings. And so I think it was a calculation on the judge's part that she felt that it was better for everyone to deny him that that opportunity. And if it meant that he was not in the courtroom, then I think that was the calculus.
What's your thoughts on Kayla Montgomery? Obviously, she testified against him. It was some very compelling testimony. Certainly made an impact. But I know a lot of people are saying, well, this isn't fair because she seemed to have quite a big role in this as well. I know they were trying to paint her as the one that threw the blows that eventually killed Harmony, which obviously I highly doubt that she was. But she certainly played a huge part in this. Was this a good deal? Was this a deal that should have been made with her to be able to testify against him the way that she did in exchange for immunity and, lesser time?
I think the prosecution looked at the case and was very clearly convinced that Adam Montgomery was the culprit, was the perpetrator of the injuries to Harmony. And I think that they were willing to make that deal in order to get who they felt was the person responsible for torturing Harmony. I think that a lot of people have varying opinions about whether or not Kayla was also a victim. And, you know, I tried at least one case where I had to say to the jury, I understand that these people who are before you to be judged don't live in your world. They live in drug world. They live in a completely different reality. They live in a reality where people do things and do things to one another that we would find really abhorrent. Their behavior is really aberrant to mainstream society. But it makes sense in drug world. And I think that's true with Kayla and with Adam. Both of them were deep into addiction. They were going to the methadone clinic and getting methadone and then taking other drugs on top of methadone. So clearly they were still deeply in their own addictions. And so I think they approach life differently. And I think when you layer on top of that, that Kayla clearly was a victim of domestic violence, she had her own level of fear and concern about her own safety and the safety of her own children. And I think that that I think that played into it, into her behavior. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think Kayla Montgomery is not a good person. I think that she did some terrible things, and I think that she has some serious mental health issues around her own moral compass. But I do believe that she was to some extent a victim. And I think that it was the prosecution sort of made the right calculus in determining that giving her a deal was the way to get Adam Montgomery. You know, Kayla is never going to have the opportunity to parent her own children. She is never going to have the opportunity to be without that reputation of being complicit in Harmony's death, regardless of whether or not she ever gets out of jail. My understanding is that she will get out of prison fairly shortly, and but she has a tremendous amount of rebuilding to do in order to have any semblance of a life. So I think the prosecution made the right choice in making a deal with her and moving the needle when it came to Adam Montgomery.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.